Parshas Bo'eiro, Bruch Mabuelim to everybody. We'd like to discuss this evening, Be'ezus Hashem, what takes center stage in this parasha, and that is the union of the Esther Makris. To be accurate, only seven of the Esther Makris are mentioned and described in this week's parasha, and the final three in the coming parasha, Parashas Bo'eiro. Much of what I'd like to share with you tonight, I saw in a sefer, the sefer Yerach Lemoyadim, which is compiled by one of the Rosh Yeshiva in Lakewood, Rav Yeruchim Olshin Shita. A very beautiful sefer, and I'd like to share with you one of his shiurim. So in the main, I'd like to offer that disclaimer from the beginning. In the main, most of what we're going to say is directly from his sefer. When we look at the Esther Makris, instead of examining them one by one, tonight, President Hashem would like to perhaps have an overview of the Makris. What was the inyan? What was the purpose of the Esther Makris? We open the Chumash, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Aleph, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Vani Akshe Eslei Paroi." I will harden the heart of Paroi, Behir Beisi Es Oisoisai, and I will increase my signs, Be'es Moifsai, and my wonders, Be'eretz Mitzrayim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly really warns of the upcoming Makos that will befall Mitzrayim. And he says, V'lo Yishma Aleichem Paroi. Paroi will not heed you, he will not pay attention. But the Nostati is Yodi the Mitzrayim. But I will literally put my hand, I will control Mitzrayim, Voitfesi es Sivoisai es Amni Bnei Yisroel Me'eretz Mitzrayim. And then Klal Yisroel will finally be free from Mitzrayim. So the simple reading of the Psukim sounds like, if we were to ask ourselves a question, very simple question, what was the purpose of the Esther Makris? It sounds like simple reading of the Psukim. The purpose of the Esther Makris was very simple, in order to persuade, to force Paroi to free Klal Yisrael from its triumph. That's the simple reading of the Pasuk. Again, it says that Paroi will not listen, and it will inflict him with the 10 Makos, and then Klal Yisrael will be taken out. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is setting up for us the whole process, and it sounds like the Makos are being used as a vehicle, as a threat against Paroi. That way he capitulates and will free Klal Yisrael from this triumph. In fact, if you look in Parashas Ki Tovoi, the parasha of Bikurim, which we discussed last week, this is quoted in the Haggadah Leil HaPesach, Vayetzi'enu Hashem Mitzrayim beYod Chazaka, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim with a mighty hand, uBezroya Netuya beOitzos uBemoitzim, with wonders and miracles. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim with miracles. So it certainly does sound like the function of the Esther Makos was in order to topple Paroi and to eventually get him to free Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim. And I'm not sure if any of you have a Chumash in front of you, but there are various psukim in the parasha where that does seem to be the implication. If anybody has a Chumash in front of them, if you look in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Chof Zayin. Zayin Chof Zayin. And it says, Ve'im Mo'ein Atol Shaleach. Moshe Rabbeinu is addressing Paroi, and he says, if you refuse to send them out from Mitzrayim, the next thing you know is, Hine Anoichi Noigeit Es Kol Gevulcha V'Tzfaradim, then all of your borders will be full of frogs. So again, What's the threat? If you do not release Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim, then you have a pending Makkah of frogs. So once again, it does sound like that was the purpose of the Makkah. If you look again, there's a Chumash in front of them, Perek Chet, in Pasuk Yud Zayin, once again, Ki im Eincha Meshaleach Et Ami, because if you do not send my nation, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through Moshe Rabbeinu, then your houses will be full of wild animals. And there are a number of psukim throughout the parasha. If you learn the parasha, you will see that does seem to be the function of the Makkos. And the truth is, this might well be the simplest reading of the Mishnah in Avos. The Mishnah in Avos tells us, Asara Nisim. There were 10 miracles that were Nasu La'avoyseinu B'Mitzrayim. 10 miracles occurred for Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim. Now what does that mean? The 10 Nisim, the 10 Makkos, they befell the Egyptians, not Klal Yisrael. What does it mean that 10 miracles were performed for Klal Yisrael? So some of the Mepharshim explain the Maral, this is what it means. It was the medium of the 10 Makkos through which Klal Yisrael were eventually released from Mitzrayim, such that we can fairly say that the 10 Makkos were done le'avoyseinu, meaning for the purpose of our ancestors. Our ancestors were the beneficiaries of the Makkos, because it was through them that eventually they were released from Mitzrayim. So, again, when reading the parasha, that certainly seems to be the traditional and the most simple understanding. The Makkos were a vehicle through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced Paray to release Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim. However, the Brisker of the Chayim of the Bracha explains otherwise. And he says to the contrary, the purpose of the Esther Makkos was not to release Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim. That was not the purpose. Rather, the purpose was, in his words, to punish the Egyptians. It was an oynesh for the Mitzrayim, it was an oynesh for Paray, but it was not there as a vehicle to release Klal Yisrael from his tribe. And the Biskarov explains that if you turn the clock back to Parashat Lech Lecha, where all of Golas Mitzrayim was foretold by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Avraham Avinu in the Brit Bein Aksarim. So if you want to know anything about Mitzrayim and the Golas, that's where you must look, because that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu lays down all of what's going to happen. And he says there as follows, Vayomer la'Avraham, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avraham, your descendants will be subjugated to hard work. Va'avodu ve'inu oisam, for 400 years. And then he says, and the nation which enslaves Klal Yisrael, Dom Omrichi, I will judge and punish. V'achreichein yitzu, and only after that will they leave Baruch Hashkodesh. So the Brisker of says, you see clearly in the psukim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu pre-tells of the punishment that will befall Mitzrayim. Don Onoichi, I will judge them and I will punish them. And in fact, if you look in Rashi on those words, Don Onoichi, Rashi says two words. Don Onoichi, I will punish them, says Rashi, the Ether Makris. Black on white. And the Biskarov quotes that Rashi. As the Biskarov, you see quite clearly that the function of the Makaris was there as the punishment for the Mitzrayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly told Avraham Avinu that this is what was going to happen. There's going to be a nation which tortures and subjugates your descendants before they are released. Don onarichi, I will punish them, says Rashi, the Esther Makaris. And that's why Chazal teach us, this is well known, the Medrash, for example, goes through all the various Makaris, Dam, Sardea, Kinim, and explains every single one why they are Mido Keneged Mido. Exactly the way that Paray and Mitzrayim treated Klal Yisrael, they got it all back in equal measure, Mido Keneged Mido. The Biskarov explains that's because this is a punishment. And if it is a punishment, punishment must fit the crime. Mido Keneged Mido. That is what the Biskarov says. Now, let's not make a mistake. This is not a contradiction to what we said before. We said before that it seems to be in the Sukkim that the function of the Makaris was in order to persuade Paray to release Klal Yisrael out from its triumph. That is not untrue, it just needs to be qualified. Namely, it was a necessary step prior to the release of Klal Yisrael from its triumph. That's true, but that was not the purpose of the Makaris. As the Pasuk clearly writes, Dom Amarichi, I will first punish them, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Va'achareichem Yetzu, following which they will be released. It is a two-stage process. So where the Pesukim seem to indicate that the Makaris were there in order for Klal Yisrael to be released, in light of the Biskarov's explanation, we must now qualify that. Not that the Makaris were there to convince Paray, rather they were there to punish Paray, and that then allowed the second stage to be fulfilled. The first stage was Don Onoichi, in which the Mitzrayim and Paray are punished, following which, after you have the Don Onoichi, you then have the V'acharechein Yoitzu. Then, finally, Klal Yisrael can be released from its triumph. Why is that the order? Because that was what was predicted in the Bris Beinah story. So this is the famous opinion of the Bris Karov. The Bris Karov is teaching us that rather than understanding that the Esther Makaris were inflicted on its triumph in order to persuade Paray, to force Paray to release Klal Yisrael from its triumph, no, says the Bris Karov, that was not the object of the Makaris. The Makaris were there as a punishment for Paray, and a punishment for the Mitzrayim, and a punishment for the Avdei Paray, following which Klal Yisrael could then be released. This is the famous pshat of the Bris Karov. There seems, however, to be a very big problem with this Bris Karov. Because if you look at the Pesukim with the commentary of the Rishonim, Rabbi Seinu Rishonim, it would seem to be that in fact the function of the Makaris was there for an altogether different purpose. Nothing to do with releasing Klal Yisrael from its triumph, and nothing to do with a punishment for Paray and the Egyptians. It would seem to be something else completely. Where is this apparent? Again, for those of the Chumash in front of them, Perek Zayin, Posuk Gimel. Perek Zayin, Posuk Gimel, the Torah writes as follows. V'ani akshar et leiv paroi. So that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I will harden the heart of paroi. V'hirbeisi et oisoisai, the apostle we mentioned before, the Eretz Mitzrayim. And I will then increase the makos that will befall Mitzrayim. Third Rashi. Toiv li, it is positive for me, she'yiskasher liboy, that I should harden his heart. The ma'an, in order that haraboy's boy oisoisai. That way, I will manage to increase the number of makos. And here Rashi adds four key words. The takhiru atem esgevuroisai. And you, through the makos, you, Klal Yisrael, will recognize my strength. Rashi seems to be teaching us over here that the purpose of the makos was to demonstrate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gevura. Nothing to do with punishing Paroi, nothing to do with bringing about the release of Klal Yisrael from its shrine, but rather to demonstrate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's koyach in the world. And if you look in the Ramban, on that pasuk, he says this in great length. He says, "Hikshe Hashem es rucho, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardened his heart and his spirit. Ba'ameit es levavoy. Why? Leman saper shmoy. In order for..." So here the Ramban is going to teach us what the purpose of this all was. Saper shmoy. That we should be able to retell the shame, the koyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he brings a pasuk in Yechezkel, v'hisgadalti v'hisgadashti. That way HaKadosh Baruch Hu will become great and glorified, v'noidati le'enei hagoyim rabim, and that way I will become known to all of the nations. And the Ramban in Parashat Bo'i says the same. That why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring Eile Ha'oisai? Sheyedu Mitzrayim es Geburoisai, the Egyptians, and Klal Yisrael, V'oi, Kadesha Tesaper Ato, so that you, Klal Yisrael, should be able to retell the Chol Yisrael, the Doiris Ha'boim, for all coming generations, Koyach Ma'asai, the great Koyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Teidu Ki Ani Hashem, and that way you will know that I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Chol Asher Echpoit E'etze, and all that I desire I do, Bashomayim Uba'oretz. So the Pesukim over here, the way that Rashi and the Ramban explain, seem to be painting for us a completely different picture. The purpose of the makos was in order to publicize, to make known HaKadosh Baruch Hu's total dominion over the world. And his koyach bashomayim ubaharet. Now let's just stop for a moment and try and understand this. Where in the makos do you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's koyach? V'yodu ki ani Hashem, and the answer is, every which way you look at the makos, you see Hashem's koyach. First and foremost, from the actual makos, everyone was miraculous. The fact that water turned into dam, the fact that millions of frogs, the kinyan, the oroi, the devon, the each mako was miraculous. Moreover, some of the makos, for example, borod, which is the last makkah mentioned in this week's Sedra, there was a miracle within the miracle. Chazal called this a neis b'toich neis. As we know, miraculously the snow and the fire coexisted. So not only was the actual hailstones a miracle, but there was a miracle within the miracle. There's more than that yet. The Mefarshim explained, on that Mishnah that we mentioned before, Asara Nisim Nasu L'Avoyseinu B'Mitzrayim, 10 miracles were performed for our ancestors in Mitzrayim. Do you know what the Rambam writes on that Mishnah? Why are the Makos called miracles for Klal Yisrael? Says the Rambam, besides for the fact that the Mako was itself miraculous, but the fact that it did not affect Klal Yisrael is yet another miracle. To be able to inflict all of Mitzrayim with Dam, Faradea, Kinin, and yet you can have a Jew and a non-Jew standing next to each other, one of them has a cup of water, one turns to dung, that's a miracle. So you have animals running loose all over Mitzrayim, but the minute they get to the border of Goshen, they stop, that's a miracle. And the Rambam says, that's what the Mishnah means. Asoro nisim nasu la'avoyseinu. The miracle was done to our ancestors, the fact that the Makos did not befall them as well. And let us understand this. The Meforshim explained, Klal Yisrael, to be quite honest, was deserving of the Makos. We all know the Chazal. Halalu oizei avodah zarah. Halalu oizei avodah zarah. There was not much distinction between Egyptians and their Jewish counterparts. The Tosafot Yom Tov and others explain that's why it was considered a miracle that the Makos did not befall the Jews as well, because to be perfectly honest, they were just as deserving. So either way, we have miracle after miracle after miracle in all of the Makos, whether the actual Makos, whether the miracle within the Makos, whether the miracle of the Makos not befalling Klal Yisrael. Either way, the Ramban and Rashi are teaching us that throughout miracle after miracle after miracle, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was demonstrating, and this was the purpose of the Makos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was demonstrating his total koyach and control over Shomayim Vaoretz. Whether it be the Shomayim, the Arba, and the Boro, or in the Oretz, the Dam, and the Tzvardeya, etc., etc. Every part of planet Earth, every Arba Kamfoy Zahoretz, was all under the total Koyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ba'alzeh Ne'emar, V'yodu Ki Ani Hashem. Through the Makos, this is how they will know that I am HaKadosh Baruch. So therefore, we're allowed to ask the question. The Briskerov taught us that the purpose of the Makos was to punish Paro and the Mitzrayim. And yet we seem to be seeing over here that the purpose of the Makos was altogether different in him. And what was that? To demonstrate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's koyach in the world. This seems to be a head-on collision. So let me just share with you the most wonderful mahalach, as mentioned, of the Olshin, the Rosh Hashiva in Lakewood, who explains the following. It's clear, therefore, if we are to reconcile the two, we must arrive at the inescapable conclusion that the Makos has a double function. There is no other way of reconciling it. If you tell me on the one hand that the function of the Makos was an oynish for Mitzrayim, and you tell me on the other that the purpose was to demonstrate the koyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, then we are left with no other answer but to say clearly there was dual purpose in the Makos. On the one hand, to punish Paro, and on the other hand, to illustrate and to clearly show everybody the koyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says Rav Olshin, an absolute genius, in fact, this is all one yesod. It may very well be dual function, but it's two sides of one single solitary coin. You know why? Says the Rosh Hashiva, it's true. The makois were a punishment for Paro. But let's stop a moment. What exactly was he supposed to be punished for? What was his crime? His crime, on the one hand, was the fact that he enslaved Klal Yisrael, but he did something else as well. What did he say in last week's parasha? Mi Hashem Asher Eshma B'Koiloi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Who's that? Who is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Lo Yodati Es Hashem. I do not know of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His crime was exactly that. Denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's koyach or existence in the world. Why did he deny, as we all know from Chazal, because he claimed that in fact he was a god. As we all know, the first makom, Moshe Rabbeinu was told to meet Paray early in the morning in the river. Says Rashi, Shaya Oysa Atzmoy Eloha. He made himself into a god. Says he doesn't need to excuse himself, he went to the river first thing in the morning. And as Chazal teaches us quite incredibly, Paro says, I in fact created this river. Says the Rosh Hashiva, if that's the case, that it all comes together so beautifully. Was the function of the Makos to punish Paro, or was it to demonstrate Hashem's koyach in the world? And the answer is that all the same thing. Because if Paro denied the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the punishment must be one in which he is forced to admit there is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a dual function, but it's two sides of the same coin. The very Paro who initially says, Lo Yodati Es Hashem, afterwards has to turn around and admit, through pain and tears, I do know who Hashem is now. And I see his unparalleled koyach in the world. The Maral explains that when Paro says, Mi Hashem, who is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He doesn't exist. He's the God, I'm the God. That brought about a tremendous Chilul Hashem. So the way that that has to be rectified is, the very same Paroi is the one who after all said and done has to come knocking in the dead of night on Moshe Rabbeinu's front door telling him, I now recognize exactly who Hashem is. That very Hashem about whom I said, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma B'Koiloi, and now see his total koyach b'shomayim u'ba'oret. And that's exactly why Moshe Rabbeinu was told to meet Paray in the river. Because Paray, by bathing in the river, was trying to demonstrate that he was a god. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, you have done arriving in Mitzrayim, because that will demonstrate to you the exact opposite. That is the Oynash. Says Rav Olshin, that's why these two parts, the two functions of the Makos, are in fact one. The most wonderful, wonderful Mahalach. Was it an Oynash for the Mitzrayim? Or was it to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu's koyach in the world? And the answer is, that's the same thing. That's the same thing. He says in conclusion, and we must think of this every day in our davening. In the Brach of Al HaTzadikim we say, Mish'on u'mitoch la'tzadikim. Our old Bracha talks about being boiteach b'ashtem. So the Mivtoch, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Mivtoch, is the security. What's the Mishon? Mishon is something you lean on. So it's widely quoted that the son of the Vilna Goyim, Avraham ben Agro, said that on occasion, we discussed this a while back in our syllabus, on occasion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises a tzaddik that a certain Haftocha is coming his way. And what does he do until that happens? He despairs. He loses hope. What does he clutch onto until the Yeshua arrives? There's the Nish'on. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you have something to lean on until eventually it comes about. Says Avraham ben Agro, do you know what an example is? The Makris in Mitzrayim. They were told there was going to be a release. So that's all fine and well. And what do we do until we're released? We don't see the Rabbeinu Shalom with us. So you have a mission. You have something to lean on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reminds you, you're in safe hands. I am running the show. Such that when we say that the Makris were there to clearly illustrate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's koyach, that was both a punishment for the Mitzrayim, but also to give chizuk to Klal Yisrael. And that's the way that Rav Olshin finishes the most magnificent shir. Was the function of the Makris as an oynesh for Mitzrayim, or was the function of the Makris to say V'yodu ki ani Hashem, and he explains that's all the same thing. Paro denies the existence and the dominion of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, so the Makris are inflicted in order to remind him and to get him to admit, you see, exactly who indeed is the real Sholeit Bo'olam, who is the one running the world. I think we have therefore examined well, in the eyes of the Rosh Hashiva, what it is that the Makris and the Mitzrayim were all about. If I may, I'd like to add perhaps just one last line. We are living through turbulent times, as is well known, here in Eretz Yisrael and from what I hear across the globe. The coronavirus is not improving, it is rapidly deteriorating. With record numbers, Rahmana Litzlan, of people who are sick, people who have been nifter. Everywhere you look and turn, there are people in and out of quarantine. Lives have been turned upside down, begashmias uberuchmias. This is our SMAKRIS. And indeed, first and foremost, we must view this makor inflicted upon us by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam as an oynash. As Chazal clearly tell us that when Yisurin comes to the world, we must view it as a punishment and as a wake-up call. But at the same time, and this is not something else, this is just the other side of the same coin, V'yodu ki ani Hashem. You cannot fail to see, if one only opens one's eyes, V'yad Hashem, the Shlita of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You might well remember that we discussed towards the beginning of Corona the frightening words of the Ran. The Ran in Drosha, who wrote the following words, and it's widely accepted that he wrote this in reaction to the Black Plague, which was inflicting all of Europe. And he says that when the Olam is noyeg keminhogoy, when the world runs in a quote-unquote normal manner, then it's very hard to come about Ahavas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, because everything is just running fine. Abel, he says, when bizarre happenings befall the world, She'einom min hogoi shalayla, which do not seem to be fitting in with the norm of the world. Then, what happens then? Sorry, klikona. You have to admit kicking and wailing whether you like it or not. Yesh Elohim. This is Mama Shakil of the Pasuk, V'yogu ki ani Hashem. In ordinary times, we know it, but we don't necessarily feel it. But now we feel it. The V'yogu ki ani Hashem, which is the function of the Makos, is the function of Corona. And he says, we have seen in the last few years, says the Ram, L'roiv Yoshvei Ha'olam. He could literally be describing Corona. To most inhabitants of the world, Chaloim Meshunim, unprecedented diseases and illnesses. This is not Minhogri Shalom. And everybody must admit, now listen to the words he quotes, everybody must admit, Et Ba Elohim Hi. Who said those words, Et Ba Elohim? Hare. No coincidence. Of all the words that the Ram could have chosen as an example, he says you have to admit, Et Ba Elohim, just as Paro admitted. He says, what we have seen, Bashono Achas, these are his words. He could have literally written this in Toshi and Payala. What we have seen in 1 year, Nehepach v'nishalei v'zman koydem v'mosayim shono. There's nothing in the last 200 years that could parallel this. You know, I spoke this week to my grandfather in London, Shigarech, Yomim Vashonim. He's close to 100 years old. And I asked him, do you remember anything in living memory that comes close to this pandemic? And he says, no, nothing. And he has a tremendous memory behind her own. He said he cannot, in living memory, the best part of 100 years, remember anything that comes close to the virus, which is forcing us to admit Et Ba Elohim Hi. And he finishes off, therefore, mitzvah olam, the call of the hour, is kathim mashiyodri maseges, each person, to make that introspection. How is HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking to me? This is mamash, a fulfillment of all the lessons learned of the Eser Makris. On the one hand, an oynesh. And on the other, which complements and explains the Oynash, in order to recognize the Et Ba Elohim, V'yodu Ki Ani Hashem. And whilst we may not see ourselves guilty of openly and blatantly expressing in the way that Paroi did, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma B'Koiloi, perhaps to an extent, on occasion, we are guilty of that. Even if not enunciating those very words, but perhaps sometimes being guilty of koichi bo'itzen yodi. I have my doctor, and I have my lawyer, and I have everybody who can take care of me, I have the local supermarket chain, and I have everything I need in my life just organized in the right place and in the right time. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns over the world and forces us to declare loud and clear, Et Ba Elohim. It was true that when Corona initially hit, I think we would all be honest and say that every drasha and every article that we read was full of Divrei Chizuk v'Hisoirus, and there indeed was a tremendous charge and surge of feeling of Chizuk. And the Avodah is not to get used to it. This has now become the new reality. We live in fear, and we live restricted, and we just have to grin and bear it. That's not the purpose. The purpose is to say, V'yodu v'yami Hashem. Because after that, V'ezah Hashem, it will be Ma'acharei Chayim Yetsu. Then indeed, we will emerge from this with the lessons learned that consolidating of the feeling that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Sholeit Bashomayim Uba'aretz. It is in our hands to be mischazik. Yodu Ki Ani Hashem, Lev'eid Hashem, Corona, and all the terrible machalos that go with it, should Be'eid Hashem soon be a thing of the past. May it be the Heirah, Yomeinu, Amen.
Amen. Shabbat Shalom.